and welcome to the 20 Minutes of Filler, episode number 40. I am your host, Jason Gitarski, with my friend,
Andy Lennox,
co-host extraordinaire.
How's it going, guys?
They can't answer. They're listening to us one way.
I wasn't talking to them.
Oh, you're talking about
talking about our guests.
Hey, guests.
Hi.
We want to welcome some fancy people who I met in a special way. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But their names are DJ and Alyssa Palomares.
You nailed it. That was it.
Yes. Awesome. Well, so DJ, we'll start with you. How did we meet?
Sure. We I read about an article of a Flint native living in Flint designing board games. It was actually about Fidelitas. I think the Kickstarter was live. And so I backed that project, and I meant to put in the comments that I was also from Flint and excited to meet somebody else who was in gaming and lived in the area. Turns out we live in the same neighborhood in Flint. And you contacted me on that comment board and said that you had a game night. And so I've been coming here ever since.
That's pretty sweet. There's a couple things I like about that story. Number one, is that like local media, like the newspaper wrote about board gaming. That was pretty awesome.
That was great.
Pretty awesome. I actually just got off the phone with that guy again. He's written an article about Treehouse, my next game. And the other thing I like about that is that, like, we discovered that, like, you are walking distance from my house. You are less than 1 mile from where I live. And you, too, are geeky board gamers.
And, to find out about it, you had to hear about Jason in the paper.
Yes. We're not easy to find, us gamers. But so that's rad. Like, and Andy actually used to live in our neighborhood too.
I did. Like, and that's sort of like how we started hanging out and doing games. And so that's a little mecca of board gaming goodness over there in Flint.
What is that?
What is going on?
What? Oh, somebody's trying to get in the building right now.
And it's right directly.
Okay.
Our little neighborhood was a tiny mecca of board gaming goodness.
Totally. So it is the place to be. You can get really cheap houses in Flint, Michigan.
Absolutely.
And that's just more money for board games.
Yeah, more money for... Exactly. Exactly. And you live close to us, and we can have game night. So you started coming to our game night regularly, and we thought it would be fun for this episode. You know, we have all these little games. I have 400 and some of my own, and they're only fun unless you have people to play them with, right? So game nights are a huge part of our hobby. So there's different kinds of game nights you can have. You can have casual things where you invite friends over to play at your house. You can go to board game meetups. We started Game Space, which is our twice a month game night, as a way to have a game night that was regular, and it was a way to introduce new people to games. So we partner with a nonprofit called Red Ink, which is kind of an umbrella organization that has an all-ages music venue and some arts projects in our city. And they're really designed to be there for the youth, right? Like, it's like a youth center type place. So we partner with them because I didn't want to be in a game store and make anybody feel like, if you want to come to you got to, like, feel guilted into buying a game because you're here. So we have this public space that we play games. And we just thought maybe we'd give you guys some of our experience of having a game night. Maybe it translates into your own space. And it's just share some of our favorite experiences from game night. Sound okay?
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Sweet. So when you first came to this new game night, like what were your expectations?
Well, we came from Lansing, Michigan. That's where we first started getting into gaming. And they had a game thing that was one day a year. That was a lot bigger games and usually more long time commitments. Mm-hmm. So we really didn't know what to expect. Then we found out that you guys play smaller games, and you know that, which I like because then you can try different things and try more things.
And it's a little bit more of a group. The other place you had, there was people in, people out, people in. You didn't really know everybody. You come here and you see the same faces, and you start to know people, and you start to know the games, and it's more fun to play with your friends rather than a bunch of faces at the table.
Yeah, that's cool. So you guys made some new connections with other gamers. You're learning more games. You know, the thing with the short games, the small games, happen for a couple of reasons, right? Because that's what I do. And I always want to make sure that, like, if new people come, like, I'm the host of this thing. So, like, I don't want to, like, say, sorry, you have to wait an hour and a half. You know, so if I always, like, if there's a long game going, I like to get somebody else doing short games too. So if somebody comes in late, we can get them into something quick. Mm-hmm. And I think that if you're going to host the game night, somebody has to be aware of that. Right? Like, I think that's just a really good practice is, like, be willing when you're the host not to play the game that you want to play, but play the game that serves the people that show up.
The other nice thing, I think, is if you're playing, like, three of those small games, if there's one game that you don't like, wait a minute, and there's going to be a game that you will like coming up next or maybe in the next one. So it's really nice because, I mean, maybe I don't love the first game, but I'm going to like the second game, and I'm going to really like the third game that we play. So it's really cool to see more of them. Because
you got locked into Agricola once?
I did. I got locked into Agricola for, like, two or three hours. It was just too much.
Wow.
And
I can hear Board Game Geek users tuning out right now.
What? Agricola was too much?
I like the theme. I like the game. It was just too much at once. It was the first time I'd ever played it, and it was for a game prize, too. There was, like, a gift certificate or something, so everybody was very serious about Agricola.
Oh, no.
And I had never played before,
and I was twiddling my thumbs while people were reevaluating their entire strategy.
Well, they were feeding their people. Yeah. You were just like, I'm hungry. I want to feed my people. Awesome. Yeah. So that's cool. That flexibility is important. Andy, tell me a little bit about your experience with game nights.
So I have two game nights per week that I try to make it to that I can't always do. But I have, like, one long-running Monday night game night, and this is more of a it's the same group of friends. It's not a public kind of thing. We just all meet there. We email each other. But we have met new people and brought people into games this way. And the games we play there are a little bit more like lifestyle games. So we play collectible card games, miniatures games, all kinds of different stuff like that. And we try to, like, focus on one game for a while and play it for a while and then switch to another game. But through that, we've met a lot of new people and we've gotten a lot of made a lot of friends this way. Like, everybody that's current, like, the only people that I'm friends with, there's like a core three people that I've known before the game group started, and everybody else kind of comes to the.
Everyone else has came to the games through.
Everybody else has come to the games by seeing us playing them and us bringing them into the fold and teaching them these, like, bigger, more involved games, and we've made a lot of friends that way, and it's really cool. And then I go to GameSpace when I can make it, and this is more light, and there's more people coming in and out. There's a bigger flux of people, and tends to be, like, a more diverse crowd, not the same people every time. But it's also, like, lighter games, and it's better for that kind of thing. So that's my game group
situation. We like heavy games, but we have two babies at home, so we don't get a lot of time outside our own walls.
Yes.
So when we do make it out.
How are you even out here together with two?
We left them with food. Their food dishes are full.
We have a very supportive grandma who comes and watches the babies.
That's
we
awesome.
Have very high walls on the pack and play.
You know,
a lid.
That's called a cage. You have a baby cage.
All right, this show's only 20 minutes. Let's reel it back in. So, you know, when you guys, I think what you pointed out is something that's really important for people who don't have a game group to know, is to, like, show up to a game night, and if it's not what you expected, like, don't get super discouraged, because maybe it just wasn't the right kind of game night. Maybe it's, like, something like Andy's Monday Night Group that's kind of tight, and you, like, feel like, you know, like, that wasn't really my crowd, wasn't my kind of games, and, like, they're a little tighter, and, like, everybody seemed to know each other. Like, there are other options. Maybe not in your area, but don't give up hope, you know? Maybe that means you have to start one if that's, you know, if you want a different type of game night, then you might have to put in a little bit of effort, right?
Also, if you're at a game store and you see somebody playing a game that you are interested in, hover over them and ask them questions. Like, that's how we've made new friends made new lifelong friends by somebody hovering over us and asking questions about the games that we're playing. And, like, I never have a problem with that. And anyone who does is a big jerk.
So don't be jerks.
Don't be jerks. Well, help people into your hobby.
DJ and Alyssa, we know you got to go home and make sure the kids haven't gotten out of their cages. So just talk about, like, a game that you learned at GameSpace, since our show's about fillers, you know, and, you know, something shortish that, like, really connected with you that you would recommend other people to try.
I loved Red 7. We've only played it once or twice, but I thought it was just really slick, really easy to learn. you know, I've told other people about it. I don't have it yet, but I've told other people about it and gotten them excited. I thought it was really slick.
I really liked this kind of rummy game that we played, where it was the prisoners escaping from Alcatraz. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was Escape from Alcatraz.
Escape from Alcatraz.
It's Mystery Rummy, Escape from Alcatraz by Mike Fitzgerald, yeah.
It just looked like a game I would never probably pick up and look at, but then to play it and then kind of get involved in it, and I discovered I really liked it. I liked that it had the history and everything going on, and it seemed like a game that I wouldn't necessarily have chosen to play by myself, but I ended up really, really enjoying.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about that game the first time I played it too. Like, any of the Mystery Rummy games, that's how I felt. It was a nice little twist on something that, like, I didn't think I was gonna like, but somebody had recommended it. I'm like, okay, I'll give this a try. Actually, it was Alan Moon, the designer of Ticket to Ride, who said that.
Name drop.
Yeah, he said that he didn't recommend it to me personally. Okay, like let's be straight about that. Like, I've never met him. He's just a hero. So he was just talking about one of his favorite games, and he mentioned Mystery Rummy, and I'm like, Rummy, a game about Rummy, and then I'm like, oh, this is clever, and it's light and fun, so that's really cool. Andy, what about you? What's a game night game that really stuck out to you recently?
See, I talk about them all the time here, but a new one for me tonight was Cockroach Poker.
Yeah.
I love this game, even though I was the sole loser. I just love coming up with bizarre ways of bluffing people, or not. Putting two piles of cards on the table and saying, this is my cockroach pile and this is my fly pile. And then just memorizing the cards in them, but then lying sometimes. I love messing with people that way. It did not work.
But we had a blast.
But we had a blast. I think this was the loudest game space in a long time.
So. It was. And there was only five of us tonight. So that was especially a lot of volume for such a small group of people. I'm just coming up with all kinds of tips here. So, like, if your game group's only four or five people, so what? Like, you can have a blast and just make that experience, like, a time to engage.
I'd say the most important thing to having a game night and sticking to it is having that on the calendar and making sure everybody knows that this is your night out. Everybody knows, like, you have arrangements. Everybody knows, like, that's your time. Because you have to protect your game time. You have to protect it jealously and keep people from taking that game time away from you for any reason. So put it on the calendar. Make sure everybody understands it is a commitment that is just important to you as all of your other commitments.
That's awesome. Awesome. So game nights are great for meeting new friends. Mm-hmm. Anything else that you guys want to share that has been cool about game nights for you here?
It's cool. I mean, being able to see all the different games. You know, there are games out there I never would have heard of, never would have found, but everybody has their own little bits of games, and everybody brings games, and they're able to describe, you know, like, these are the kinds of games I like. So you kind of get to know people that way, and you get to see tons of new games, and you can pick out which ones you want, because they're an investment, and you want to make sure that you like it before you go and get it.
And also, I don't like to say this, but we're lucky to have Jason because he designs games. We've had different people bring their designed ideas, games. We just did it with our game tonight. So we're, you know, it's a cool experience, and we like trying to figure out new mechanics and new possibilities.
You know, I like to sometimes pretend I'm a big deal, but like I really know that I'm not.
No, I wouldn't be that
far. And when people start showing up, like, and like they test my games for me. You know, we do testing here at game night sometimes, and people are always really gracious. But the coolest two moments of all of game space for me have been when a 10-year-old brought his prototype to show us, and then when you, Alyssa, brought yours tonight. Like, hey, like, you guys have started designing games since being around this crowd of people, and that is really fun to have more people in my own community that are digging into game design. So, well, thank you guys for coming on, and we hope you guys have a good night with your kids, and we'll see you next month at Game Space.
We'll be there.
Ladies and gentlemen, a Green Couch Games update from Jason Kotarski.
Hello, and welcome to the Green Couch portion of the show. I just we had a little bit extra time, so I just thought I would share a little bit about what's going on with the company right now. Green Couch, we are just releasing Fidelitas to stores. So if you have a friendly local game store, and
if you don't have your copy yet,
yeah,
get out and get one.
Please. That'd be awesome. Even if you ask for it, like, maybe it'll point the stores in the right direction.
Jason is like wasting away here.
Totally. My kids have to eat. I just want to keep putting out games, honestly. So, but yeah, if you go to any store, you can go to GameStoreLocator.com, and those are all Game Salute ACD supported stores that buy stuff from the distributor that carries Fidelitas. So, we're still getting good feedback about the game. Some new reviews will be popping up soon. So it's kind of like phase two of the game, and I'm pleased with how it's been going. People have been playing it and tweeting lots of pictures of it, so that's pretty exciting. And it's just in time because the next game is going on Kickstarter. Well, actually, by the time this posts, it's on Kickstarter.
It's almost like you did that on purpose.
Dude, isn't that great?
But that's not what happened.
Well, no, actually, it was like I'm going to finish a game and completely deliver it before I do the next thing.
Hey, that's the timing was perfect.
Yeah, it was. So it's exciting. It's exciting to have completed one thing and be ready to start in the next one. So we've mentioned it on the show. It's Best Treehouse Ever by Scott Olms. It's a kind of light.
It's the hot stuff. It's hot. It's hot. So hot. You gotta get it.
it's a drafting game with some spatial reasoning and some nastiness where you all are building your treehouse, and then you have these modifier cards that you get to do cool things with, like cancel out the colors that you don't have.
And then everyone just decides that your color is not cool anymore.
Yeah, and they leave you hanging and they don't pick that color anymore. So it's a light game. It's a fast game. It's got some beautiful art by the dude we talked to in the last episode, Adam McIver. Mm-hmm. And it's on Kickstarter now. So we hope you will go and check that out straight away.
I'll be pledging first thing Friday morning.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. I appreciate that. I thank you for what you've already done in the past, in the present, but in the future, because we're recording before. You with me? Following?
You lost me.
I don't know how that could have possibly happened. But yeah, so Best Treehouse Ever. It's going to be sweet. It's going to be sweet. And there's a print and play, too. So if you're not sold and you think I'm just trying to sell you things that I think you should buy without you knowing really if it's cool or not.
You should just ignore that feeling in your gut and go buy it anyway.
Or print and play the game and decide if you like it or not. Also, I want to mention another campaign right now. We mentioned it with Adam because Adam did the artwork for this, too. But Bottom of the Ninth is a Dice Hate Me game. From one to two players.
Still going.
It's about baseball. It's still going. My face may be in the card. I love Adam's artwork, but I think that for this particular card, his inspiration was a little bit more Harry and the Hendersons than it was actually my beautiful face.
It looks like you on steroids.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
So it makes sense for a baseball
team. My team is called, my player's name is J.A. Kapowski. True story about that is I was terrible at baseball. But I played Little League until I got to, like, school age when you had to have tryouts, like middle school, you know, when you had a tryout to be on the team. I just played Little League before that. And that was when I wised up and realized I was terrible at sports. But I had a lot of fun playing, but I never swung the bat. I was, like, afraid to swing. So I struck out every single time.
That is funny because my actual nickname in Little League was On Base Andy because I got on base every time.
Nice.
I never got a home run, though.
Dude, that hurts. That hurts. So my name is J.A. Kapowski. Like, I actually hit the ball in this fantasy world. And my team is the Vehicle City Victors. The Vehicle City is another name for Flint, Michigan.
Yeah.
And I have a really cool logo, which has, like, it's pistons in the shape of a V. And
are
like
all
car
the players
pistons.
Different teams?
No, not all of them. It's, like, obviously Matt and Ben from Fleet. They're on the Flint Fleet.
What?
They're not even from Flint. But they're on the Flint Fleet. Alliteration. Okay, okay. You know? Yeah, it's pretty fun. Our friend Eric Handler is colorblind, so his card is black and white. It's wonderful. So check that out, too, while you're at it. There's too much fun going on Kickstarter, so I don't want to have all the fun just myself. I'll share some of it.
You should buy more than one thing.
You should buy all the things.
Well, you should buy. First of all, you should buy, like, three copies of Best Treehouse Ever. If you have any leftover money. Then go bottom of the night.
Dude, as we wrap up, what's something that's coming out soon? Just let's get off me for a second here. What's something coming out in the future that you've heard about that you're interested in? Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah.
Too much?
Man.
What's the next game you want to buy then?
You know what I'm buying into soon?
Uh-oh.
You're going to hate this.
Uh-oh.
The Star Trek miniatures game. Oh, yeah.
The attack wing?
Yeah, it is awesome.
It's better than X-Wing?
Oh, it's so much better.
What?
I swear. There's, like, a bunch of factions. You can be any faction you can think of. Think of some weird thing from Star Trek.
Oh, I was going to pick Wookiees. Let's just see. But then you said Star Trek.
Star Trek. So, like, they got the Dominion, the Cardassians, the Borg. They got... You can be Ferengi. I don't know why.
Who are the dudes? Who's Worf? What's Worf?
The Klingons.
Oh, yeah. He's the good Klingon. It's kind of not...
He's
cool, though. This is how geeky I'm not about Star Trek.
He's super cool. Oh, he's half Klingon.
Okay. What about Link? No, Link. Q. Link is Zelda. Q, I know nothing about Zelda either.
I think there's a promo card for Q coming out soon.
Oh, dude.
But anyway, it's sort of like Star Wars Attack Wing, but there's more... There's more ship upgrades and crew, and the characters are more important in it, and there's more factions, and there's just more of everything. So, and everybody's been getting into that at game night lately. So, I think I might go Borg. Their ships are cubes, and they move at right angles.
But then you could get the giant Borg, right?
They do have the giant one at the store. And they have a super giant like Deep Space Nine that's like. As big as the whole table.
Don't do it, man. Don't do
it. I'm going for it.
Don't.
I'm getting in deep.
Okay.
I'm going to sell all my Dice Master stuff.
Oh, you're done with Dice Masters now?
For now.
For now? You'll buy it when it's cheap again? Are you going to do D&D Dice Masters?
Yeah. There's some cool stuff.
Is there?
Yeah, there is some cool D&D Dice Master stuff. There's a DC Comics Dice Master stuff coming out that seems pretty cool. The Yu-Gi-Oh! Stuff is out, which I haven't even looked at, but apparently it's cool. I don't know. People who like Yu-Gi-Oh! Like it.
Sweet.
Yeah, so Dice Masters is still going strong, but I talked about it a little bit, but like our game group, we're total jerks. We want the easiest, lightest game to play, but it has to be incredibly competitive and has to work on a competitive level at the same time.
Nice.
Yeah.
The thing I just picked up, so I was looking forward to getting it, but I got it already. So, Uchronia by Carl Chudik.
I saw that sitting over there.
It's like essentially Glory to Rome light with dinosaurs and stuff. I don't know.
Dinosaurs?
So Glory to Rome, classic card game, everybody loves it. Crazy, chaotic, engine building, you know, like multi-use cards, really out of print because the company who did it struggled.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of redeveloped the game, made a new game based on that engine, a little bit easier, called Uchronia. And it's got beautiful art because Yellow puts it out. And I was just reminded of it at Unpub because Mike Fitzgerald was talking about how much he loved it, you know, and how it was like Glory to Rome with less of a learning curve.
Ooh.
So, yeah. So I picked that up. I'm really
dinosaurs.
Yeah, and dinosaurs. That makes
dinosaurs
everything
were
better.
Not in the Roman Empire.
It's true. But in Uchronia.
Which is their biggest flaw.
Yeah, seriously. That, I mean... I don't think the Romans would have won had there been dinosaurs. But the Romans didn't win.
20 minutes of history.
Thank you very much for tuning in. You can find me on Twitter at Jason Kedursky.
I'm at Andy_Lennox.
Get out there and play some great little games.